content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the June 2019 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin today with the President's message entitled Partnerships Ensure Your Work Continues. Hello, Lions. When I think of the power of partnerships, I think of the task of raising a family. I remember how difficult it was at times to balance the care and nurturing of my children with the demands of school and work life. On those nights I needed to work, my husband was there to put the kids to bed. On those days when my kids were sick or sad or just needed their mom, I had coworkers who understood and helped cover while I stayed home and gave them medicine and hugs. I could have done it all alone. Many do. But it sure was easier with partners. Partnership not only supports you in your efforts, whether it's raising a family or planning a service project, but they also ensure the work you do lives on even when you move on. You could plant a garden and tend it alone, but it will die if you move away and can no longer care for it. But if you get the whole community involved, you will have planted something that will live beyond you. And that is the very definition of what it means to make an impact. Let's make this summer of building the relationships that will help our work continue well into the future. Yours, Gudrun Ingvedotter, International President of Lions Clubs International. We're going to start today with a feature article entitled Bigger Than Me. Don't Let This Die is the subtitle. People come and go. They change their priorities or get pulled away for one reason or another. They get sick. They get old. At some point, they pass away. It is a hard truth of life. Individuals are permanent. But partnerships can endure. Partnerships are bigger than just one person. The cast of characters changes over time, says Nancy Messmer of Clallam Bay Psyku Lions in Washington. She and her husband, Lion Roy Morris, continue partnerships they helped create in 2007 with the Washington Clean Coast Alliance, now known as Washington Coast Savers. You have to keep building the bonds of the alliance to continue, she says. The inspiration for Coast Savers started with a Seattle environmentalist who was leading a small group in cleaning up the state's most remote beaches. He came to Messmer and Morris with the news that he was ill. He didn't want sympathy. He just wanted to make sure his work continued. Don't let this die, Nancy Messmer remembers him saying. She and her husband knew, she says, if you're a very hardworking person, you can get a lot done just by yourself. But you can't do the really big things. Messmer and Morris met with other Lions, representatives from like-minded volunteer groups, and stewards from the Olympic National Parks. We got together and everybody in the room realized that nobody was anybody's boss, and we created an alliance, says Messmer, environment chair for MD-19. Now, 12 years later, more than 1,000 volunteers pick up 34,000 plus pounds of debris along Washington's Pacific Coast for Earth Day each April. And that is just one event. In September, they partner with the Ocean Conservancy for the International Coast Cleanup, and the Clallam Bay Seku Lions coordinate the cleanup of the Western Strait of Juan de Fuca, partnering with the local visitor center and the county, and inviting all volunteers to Alliance barbecue afterwards. Many things like this happen every day around the world because of valuable partnerships, says Messmer. But to keep these projects alive and productive, she says, partnerships have to be able to endure and involve. There are some people who think if you go through the process of planning, writing your goals, having your objectives, and you have a coordinator and a website, you're done, Messmer says. But we know the process of doing big work is a continuous effort. And sometimes it's big things, and sometimes it's little things, but it's continuous. You could say the cannonball snowballed. For many years, Iowa's Mason City Evening Lions sold about 700 chicken dinners on Cannonball Day, the day people of Mason City celebrate their railroad history around the town's Cannonball 457, a steam locomotive built in 1912. But last year, the dinner tickets totaled more than 3,000, which, according to project chair Dennis Brunswald, is more than the small aging club could handle alone. The funds generated by the dinner are far too important to the community to let the project fade away. But the club needed help. When the River City Kiwanis Club heard the Lions were in need of a helping hand, they offered theirs. They're a young club, and their membership is 80 to 85. We're a small club with only about 23 members, and our average age is 74, says Brunswald. We decided that a partnership was the answer to keeping this successful project going. The two will join forces this month for the traditional Lions barbecue chicken dinner. One nice thing about this is that the Lions deal with sight. Kiwanis deal with kids, Brunswald said. We're both all about helping people in our community. And now the people who support Kiwanis will support the dinner. We all benefit. Michigan isn't the only place where these traditional club rivals are holding hands. Past District Governor Tom Penhaligon knew that when he started the Sonora Lions Tree Removal Project in California with Lion Glenn Gottschall 2 years ago, that success would take more than one man and one club. He saw the skeletons of multiple dead trees that needed to be removed, and knew removal would benefit the community. But his club alone didn't have the manpower, money, or expertise. The only way this project was going to happen was through partnering, Penhaligon says. Sonora Lions being the only Lions in their county, he visited other neighboring service organizations to explain the Lions Tree Mortality Aid Program, a way to help low-income and elderly homeowners with the costly removal of dead and dying trees that had succumbed to bark beetles and drought. Kiwanis and Rotary both went all in, Penhaligon recalled, this spring as the project came to a close. Both organizations dedicated members to the TMAP Board of Directors. Each of the clubs held fundraisers, bringing in tens of thousands of dollars to finance the taking down of hundreds of trees at a cost of $400 to $1,200 U.S. dollars per tree. This was not only a project where partnering was a great help to the community, says Penhaligon. It brought a better understanding of community to all clubs. And pooling your resources adds up. In Michigan, Emmett Lion Chuck Beliski convinced his club to partner with the Red Cross in organizing multiple blood drives, and through that effort, they have helped close to 12,000 people, he says. The project started in October of 1975 when LCI asked every Lions club to do a community event, and Beliski suggested his club host a blood drive. When you suggest a project, you're doing it, says Beliski. So Beliski and his wife, Nancy, organized the first Lions blood drive, and Lions decided to continue it every year, slowly upping the number of drives from one each year to three. In January, they held their 100th drive. According to Beliski's calculations, the Red Cross collected 3,999 pints of blood during those 100 drives, and each pint can help three patients. So 11,997 patients in need of blood have been helped by the Emmett Lions alone. A Vietnam War veteran, Beliski began giving blood during the war, and he vowed that over time he would give 15 gallons of blood. As of April, he had surpassed his goal, having given 19 gallons or 456 pints of blood. Why? Well, I always felt that giving blood is a great thing to do, he says simply. People are always in need. And I know if I needed blood, I'd want someone to help me. Partners show up when you need it. For many years, the 92-year-old Carpinteria Lions Club in California had made it to a point to get to know the neighbors. This year, they made visits to 9 other clubs, the furthest about 2.5 hours away, says club president Neil Bartlett. Along with fostering camaraderie and friendships, visits among clubs allow Lions to get and give feedback on projects, lend support, and share ideas. Thanks to an idea shared by the Santa Maria Alliance, the Carpinteria Alliance have netted more than $125,000 from charity from 9 years of hosting their popular Christmas fundraiser, the annual Lions Festival of Trees. The project has also proven the value of friends willing to help in a pinch. Before Thanksgiving each year, the Carpinteria Alliance put 20 or more Christmas trees on display in community buildings for local businesses and organizations to adopt. They decorate the trees and add themed presents underneath. During the festival, visitors buy raffle tickets for $1 from the Lions to drop in the boxes under the trees and presents they hope to win. But the trouble came last year when a heavy rainstorm hit the town. Hours before opening day, the Lions awoke to find more than an inch of water through the venue. Who came to help? Neighboring Lions. And the event opened just one day late. Our visitations to other clubs helped us to establish those relationships and that friendship, says Bartlett. Their help was very important to us. In October, the Carpinteria Lions also run a tri-tip sandwich booth at the state's largest tree festival, the California Avocado Festival, when the town's population jumps from 14,000 to 200,000. It's labor-intensive, all hands on deck, says Bartlett. We need everybody in the club down there, and it's still not enough. So Lions from the UC Santa Barbara, Ventura Downtown, and Camarillo Amber's Light Clubs, as well as others, come to their assistance. In turn, Carpinteria Lions donate part of these proceeds to these clubs so they can fund their own projects. In my opinion, visitations don't happen as often as they should, says Bartlett. A lot of good comes from people getting to know each other and working together. And next, we'll jump over to our Global Service Department. From the United States, putting SIDS to sleep. What impressed the Redwood Falls Lions Club most about Becky Bruns was her willingness to give back to the community through education on sudden infant death syndrome, also known as SIDS, after the tragic loss of her son. What impressed Becky about Minnesota's Redwood Lions was, quote, their willingness to help in every way possible, without question and with smiles on their faces. They were there, she says. Bruns and her husband, Sean, of Redwood Falls, started the nonprofit Dominic Bruns Memorial Fund in 2008 after the loss of their son, Dominic, to SIDS. Their mission is to prevent SIDS and rebreathing through the education of new parents and families in their area to better the lives of infants, children, and families through community involvement and to preserve the memory and legacy of their son. Becky Bruns, the mother of three, a farmer and a small business owner, says Dominic did not have a chance to create his own legacy, so the family started one for him. Along with education, she oversees the distribution of Halo sleep sacks, wearable swaddling blankets that have been proven to reduce the risk of future SIDS occurrences. Redwood Falls Lions get involved by helping with the packing of sleep sacks for shipment. Becky Bruns and her mother bring about 1,000 sleep sacks to the Redwood Falls American Legion Hall for about an hour before the Lions evening meeting. Lions set up tables in an assembly line fashion, including information on the organization and preventing SIDS, and various colors and designs on the sacks. They are meant for distribution to hospitals, daycares, health care centers, and orphanages. Then two tables of Lions armed with scissors, tape, and boxes compete to see which table can effectively pack the most. More than 3,000 packages have already been boxed by the Lions, and there will be more. Bruns had previously done work with family members and volunteers over a period of several weeks, but the Lions enjoyed it so much they asked if they could help again. Club President Cindy Labrie says, "We've asked Becky to keep us on schedule for future shipments, as it's a project we'd like to continue doing in the years ahead." And from the Philippines, feeding a lot of hungry people. The Katarungan Central Lions Club in Metro Manila barangays fed more than 10,000 people in need at Luneta Park in front of the Quirino Grandstand. The project was initiated by PID Vic Cheng Yan in partnership with the Filipino-Chinese Lions Foundation and ATM Chain Foundation of China, with the Quezon City Katarungan Central Lions Club, and cost approximately $76,000. It is the biggest project so far held by the Philippine Lions. The ATM Chain Foundation of China donated funds for the project as well. 1,000 lions were present to help. The club plans to continue the project next year. And now we have another feature article entitled A High Note. His father calls him cheeky and cheerful. Jaden, who is 3 years old, also is, in the best sense possible, a mimic of sorts. Often confined to a hospital bed while he battles cancer, he's accustomed to being helped. But he's learned to do unto others as has been done for unto him. He's not afraid to reach out to others in affection. When his mother reads to him, he energetically claps to show his appreciation. When his illness gets the best of her and her spirits sag, he gently asks, "What's wrong, Mommy?" He consoles her, "Don't worry." Lots of lions in foreign nations have worried about Jaden and lent their support since his parents learned he suffered from neuroblastoma, a rare, potentially fatal disease. He's been treated in his native Malaysia and then Singapore and lastly Spain. If funds can be raised, his parents hope the next stage of treatment will take place in New York, where a vital vaccine is available. His doctors in Malaysia, unable to provide the necessary sophisticated medical procedures, had almost given up hope after his initial treatments. Jaden's parents were at a low point, believing they were out of options. What subsequently happened, his odyssey to other nations to receive advanced care, is a testament to the network that exists among lions, as well as their determination to serve and step forward to save the life of a toddler. Battling cancer is a marathon. Every new symptom is a reason for sleepless nights, says his father, Marcus Ban, who works in the engineering industry. Jaden currently is living a cheerful life. We're looking forward to returning home on a high note. Lions who have visited with Jaden are struck by his upbeat demeanor, despite the often grueling and painful treatments. He's been a fighter since he came into the world. For us, Jaden is a superhero, says Eduardo Zay of the Barcelona Gaudi Lions Club. Neuroblastoma commonly occurs in children under 2. Immature cells called neuroblasts do not grow into functioning nerve cells. Instead, for reasons not understood, they become cancer cells. Only 700 cases are diagnosed each year in the United States. When found and treated early on, chances for recovery are good in the United States, but outcomes are far less positive in developing nations. After he and his wife began to despair of securing adequate care, Ban happened to learn about a child with a rare disease who was helped by the Kuala Lumpur Lions Club and other lions in Malaysia. The story was told in the Lion magazine in September of 2018, and regular updates were being given on Facebook and WhatsApp. Marcus rang me up, recalls Stella Fu of the Kuala Lumpur City Lions Club. Kuala Lumpur is the capital of Malaysia with 1.6 million people. Maybe we can't help everyone survive, but we could at least save this one life. It meant the whole world to his parents and his family. Like the other child helped by the Malaysian Lions, Jaden was flown to Singapore, where he received surgery and chemotherapy. Unfortunately, the microscopic cancer cells, tiny but ferociously malignant and resilient, often proved to be resistant to chemotherapy. So off Jaden went to Barcelona for eight months or so of immunotherapy. Lions from various nations came together to help Jaden, thanks to the Global Action Team, also known as GAT, a worldwide network of lion leaders that provide lions and community leaders with access to key programs and tools. GAT promotes membership, leadership, and service. Past Council Chair Patrick Chu of Malaysia, a GAT area leader, contacted GAT staff at LCI about Jaden's plight. A meeting was arranged at the LCI convention in Las Vegas with a past council chair, Patrick, past district governor, Ken Chu, a GAT area leader from New York, and Portia Fagel of the Yonkers Millennium Lions Club in New York. This is a great example of how the GAT activated the Global Lion to Lion Network, says Global Action Team Chairperson, past International President Kajik Habananda. Sorry about that. It's pronounced it's spelled Habananda. Lions were able to reach across borders in service. Helping Jaden was a no-brainer for another reason. Pediatric cancer is one of the Lions' global causes. Lions have assisted Jaden in numerous ways. Kuala Lumpur Lions donated from their own pocket, appealed for funds on social media, and persuaded other clubs in Malaysia to help. The Singapore Tanah Merah Lions Club raised funds at its multiple district convention. The Yonkers Millennium Lions Club in New York raised money and acted as liaison between the family and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. The GAT team at LCI in Oak Brook sent Christmas presents to Barcelona for Jaden. Lions in Barcelona helped make Jaden and his parents feel at home in their city. They visited the hospital, donated 700 diapers since diarrhea is a nasty side effect of the treatment, presented him with a nifty bathrobe, and even provided the family with a transit card for local transportation. They threw Jaden a birthday party when he turned 3 and gave him a fire truck and a stuffed lion. "We are forever grateful and indebted to Lions," says Ban. "Their kindness, generosity, and love transcend borders and ethnicity. Lions have helped us grow from despair to hope." Ban is particularly grateful to Fu for her tireless service on behalf of Jaden. "She's the big bang at the center of the Lions' efforts," he says. The generosity of Lions has inspired Ban to reach out to other families in similar straits. He and his wife, Moy Moy, coordinate a WhatsApp chat room for other families in Spain grappling with neuroblastoma. 5 families currently are leaning on Ban and Moy for advice. "They're strangers here. Life can be really tough. They need help in looking for accommodations, translation services, visas, and even groceries." Jaden and his family were expected to return home to Malaysia in April. But to prevent a relapse, they'd like Jaden to receive a vaccine treatment, an extension to the immunotherapy, which may become available in Barcelona within a year, but is currently offered in New York. Ban is willing to uproot his family to ensure his son stays healthy. He says he is considering relocating to the United States and finding a new job here. "Jaden's care is life-saving. For Involved Lions, it's been life-changing. I feel good to be someone's light when they are in darkness," says Fu, who has 2 young children. "I'm a happier soul after seeing what I've done. I feel that we all need help at a certain point in our lives. I know how to love my own family better than before because I know that life is so fragile." And next we have an LCI forward update. "There's always room for a new goal. There are no small acts of service, but there are always new ways to think big about service. In 2004, the Rockland Lions in California decided they needed to step up their efforts in collecting eyeglasses. Until then, they had been happy if they collected 35 pairs in a year. But new club president Max Best decided they could do better. In addition to implementing an expanded drop box program in their town, they also began contacting local lost and found departments for unclaimed glasses. After some success with that, they asked themselves, why limit ourselves just to our town? They began contacting the lost and found departments in every casino, hotel chain, police department, and college they could find across the country. They went from collecting 35 glasses per year to collecting between 30,000 and 40,000 per year, with about 25% of those collected locally and the remainder gathered across the U.S. Buoyed by the success of their new strategies, the club set a goal of collecting 500,000 eyeglasses. By early 2019, they had collected 504,548 pairs. While this may not be the most any club has collected, this is an example of one club deciding that good was actually not good enough. They challenged themselves to think creatively to find new sources for their program, enhancing their service impact. And you can share your story. If your club has found innovative ways to improve membership value and increase membership, reshape public opinion and visibility, or enhance your service or impact in a notable way, please tell us. You can email us at magazine@lionmagazine.org, and that's spelled a little different. Magazine is normal, M-A-G-A-Z-I-N-E, at lionmagazine.org. And now it's time for club news. The Stillwater Noon Lions in Oklahoma checked the vision of 1,249 pre-K through second grade students in Stillwater schools, and this year included students of all ages in private schools and homeschools. The San Antonio Founder Lions Club in Texas participated in the Elf Louise Christmas Project, a countywide event providing gifts to children, and Lions donated $5,000 to the Lighthouse for the Blind. In Louisiana, the Alexandria Lions Club has a long history of supporting Louisiana Lions Camp. The club received $15,000 in a grant from Pathways Management Group for camp scholarships. The Stafford Township Lions Clubs in New Jersey loans their vision enhancer machine to people with low vision, macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, glaucoma, or cataracts, enabling them to read and write and helping them regain their visual independence. In Colorado, the Sterling Lions Club shipped their 1,000,000th pair of eyeglasses in a program they started in 2001. Glasses are collected all over their state, as well as in parts of Wyoming, for various charities, including Feed the Children, church groups, and individuals worldwide. Inmates at the Sterling Correctional Facility process about 1,500 eyeglasses per week for the Lions. For the third year in a row, the Mechanicsburg Lions in Pennsylvania delivered gifts to children in five schools for the Cumberland Valley School District's Angel Tree program. The 75-year-old Brookfield Lions Club in Massachusetts held its 30th annual ice fishing derby with more than $10,000 in cash prizes. In Michigan, the Memphis Lions are proud of Lion Mike Manchik, who leads the group in actively helping the visually impaired veterans at John Dingell Veterans Administration Hospital. Manchik, with the support of the club, held a raffle to support the disabled veterans of Southeast Michigan. And finally, eight members of the South Carol Lioness Lions Club in Maryland were recognized at a club meeting, and three, including Judy Champ, Barbara Drought, and Linda Smith, received Diamond Centennial Award pins. The award honors Lions who recruited new members and who have remained in the club for at least 3 years and one day. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Have a great day.